The story of the Israel-Hamas war has many stories within it, and that list certainly keeps growing. One of the most recent was when plans regarding chemical weapons were found in the possession of a Hamas terrorist. Is that a wish list beyond the reach of Hamas, or is that a true concern that Israel and the rest of the world needs to respond to? Joining us now to discuss this issue is a retired U.S. Army colonel who served as the assistant commandant for the U.S. Army Chemical, Biological, Radiological, Nuclear Schoolhouse, and Regimental Headquarters at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Today is a chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear consultant with Rigatu Analytical Devices, Dr. Jeffrey Brodeur. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this important topic.
Indeed. And for you listening, no, we are not going to talk about how to build chemical weapons. So just get, you can rest that idea to the side. But when you heard about the story about a Hamas terrorist and they found a USB port, it wasn't like he was carrying around an 800-page manual, but it's a 2003 manual on this USB port from Al-Qaeda that gave instructions on what you need and how what to do in order to build a chemical weapon. What was your first reaction when you heard about that?
Well, and again, thanks for asking me about this important issue. So I had two immediate things that came to my mind. The first is that you're exactly right. This was apparently a thumb drive, right? It wasn't a weaponized cyanide agent-based chemical device. So it has all the classic signs of a military deception to cause angst and anxiety and for another combatant to do things they probably don't want to do but need to do in order to protect their forces. But the second thing that came to my mind is we already know the boundaries of this battlefield. It is the Gaza Strip. It's not like the Hamas can outmaneuver the Israeli Defense Force. So in that regard, it has to be taken as a serious threat. Add on to that, this is just another lethality on an already complex combat zone that we're getting ready to watch unfold. This is urban warfare. So I describe it as a four-dimensional battlefield. We've got the vertical space that we need to worry about, call that indirect fires from artillery, mortars, drones nowadays even. And then we have the added feature of direct fire, read that as assault weapons, from 4- and 5- and 6-story buildings. I've got to worry about north, south, east, and west on my level, and then I've got this very mature, complex tunnel system right underneath me. And so it is going to be messy, and it's going to be a slow process. And to answer your question immediately, yes, it absolutely needs to be taken as a threat. And you were key to pick up on the date of the manual that is reported and the signature of Al-Qaeda. And I say that for, this is part two of my thought process. So Iran for the last 20 plus years has been the connective tissue between all of the non-state actors in that region that have desired to sow content and chaos within the area, and they've been extremely successful. And I say that because just this year in June, the United Nations published a report on known chemical munitions that ISIL produced in the northern region of Mosul. Now, this is time frame 2017, not 1917, right? So this is a real and present danger, if you will.
Right.
8 chemical agents, all of them homemade, and one of them was a cyanide-based improvised chemical device. So in my mind, it's fair to assume that anything that ISIL inherited likely came from an early generation of Al-Qaeda experiments. And then anything that ISIL was able to perfect on top of that, we should assume that Hamas has available to them. And the other thing that tangentially worries me is that this USB drive was not on a research scientist. It was not on a PhD student. It was on an operative, which suggests, it doesn't tell me, but it suggests that this was not research and development. but this was information for somebody to on how to employ a weaponized device.
Dr. Jeffrey Brodeur, retired U.S. Army colonel, served as the assistant commandant of the U.S. Army Chemical, Biological, Radiological, Nuclear Schoolhouse, also a regimental headquarters at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri today. He is a chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear consultant with, am I pronouncing it right,
Rigaku Analytical Devices,
handhelds.rigaku.com. We have that link at our homepage as well, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. When it comes, you mentioned the terrain and the, I guess, the battlefield, that we can call it, being a rather compressed area. Does Hamas, not that they would care from what I can understand about Hamas, but does Hamas put themselves at risk by launching a chemical weapon, would just say someplace in Israel, where it can just as easily impact Gaza?
True, and very concerning. Now realize, the normal downwind hazard for an aerosolized version of this does not go miles downrange, right? So the environment will disperse it, it will dilute it over time, and some of it will evaporate. If you've got rain, that will take care of some of it. So the potency atrophies over some period of time, but it's a dangerous weapon if you don't know how to employ it. So that your number one challenge is not to kill yourself in the process of trying to kill others.
Right.
And the one example I will give you on how difficult it is to employ it, it's not impossible. Tell me. Especially if you've got the right personality who, instead of a suicide vest, has something like this device. I mean, that's the easy piece. But back in 1995, a gentleman named M. Shirikyo and his organization employed a sarin nerve agent device on a Tokyo subway with relative success. And then after about 2.5 years of Japanese law enforcement investigation, we later learned that they failed 30-something times. Radiological, biological, and chemical weapons. They actually employed and goofed it up somehow. It was that last attack that they finally got right. So, to your point, employment is a difficult, absolutely. So this is a weapon, Sinai, that it's addressed to whom it may concern. It doesn't have anybody's name on it like a bullet does. It will kill anybody that becomes in range and is untrained or unprotected. And generally, you can run the stopwatch at about 10 minutes or less. It'll kill somebody. Either that or you wish you were dead. So it's a huge challenge for Hamas.
Going into what you just said about the Tokyo attack, can a less sophisticated chemical weapon, less expertly constructed chemical weapon, be more dangerous, do more damage than a professionally accurately constructed one?
So I think, to your point, you can increase the efficiency dispersion, so it affects more targets. That's very true. To another point, though, why does that matter, right? So that's like comparing a 1 kiloton nuclear weapon to a 100-ton. It's still going to kill me.
That's very true. And obviously, we don't want to give away details here, but if you had to grade, because we're sending more and more of our military members into the battle zone, not necessarily the battlefield, but as far as awareness, understanding, and ability to respond to a chemical weapon attack on a scale of 1 to 10, how does the U.S. military rank in preparedness for this element of war?
Yeah, so I'd rather choose to grade pass-fail, because especially when you deal with something like this, if you don't get it right, you're dead, right? So you either do it right or you don't do it right. And they are our forces are, and the Israeli Defense Forces, I would assess as trained, organized, and equipped to mitigate this threat. Now, it's not going to be an easy day, and And the level of difficulty is going to be much higher than I would have liked it. But, I mean, that's the nature of combat, right? Things go wrong, and it's not pretty, and it's difficult, and it's tough. And so this just kind of adds to that variable.
We certainly care for you listening about the human factor of what we see happening between Israel and Hamas, but the element, the introduction of the at least possibility or the intent of chemical weapons, and that certainly places the human factor even at a greater risk on both sides, no matter which side of this battle you are landing on. So what Dr. Brodeur says, I think, is certainly information that hopefully the ears that need to hear it and the minds that need to understand it do indeed just that. We've been talking with retired U.S. Army colonel, served as the assistant commandant for the U.S. Army Chemical, Biological, Radiological, Nuclear Schoolhouse and Regimental Headquarters at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Today, he is a chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear consultant with regard to analytical devices, handhelds.regard2.com. Dr. Jeffrey Brodeur, thank you for your expertise and your insight today.
I thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.